What's happening, boys and girls? Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. Give us 600 seconds and we'll give you the tools you need to improve your handicapping. Thanks so much for joining us today. My name is Joe Fortenball, and here's what we have coming up on this week's NFL podcast. Just a couple minutes, we'll go out to the Las Vegas desert. My man Teddy Covers is going to join us to break down Week 14 in the NFL. We're going to close the show with a few picks. But I want to begin today with a general rule of thumb. I can't remember where I first heard this, but this isn't an original idea, but it's something that stuck with me for a while. People will show you who they are. Just let them. Okay? People will show you who they are. Just let them. Johnny Manziel is an example of this. Manziel was a great quarterback at Texas A&M, but he was a problem. And you can tell he didn't take things seriously. He wasn't disciplined. He acted like a fool on multiple occasions. And sure enough, it didn't work out for the Cleveland Browns. Manziel showed the Browns and everyone else who he was. People just didn't want to acknowledge the truth. And it ended up stinging Cleveland, as so many of their first round picks have. It's not to bang on Cleveland. It's just to highlight a point. And it doesn't just apply to people. It applies to teams. Teams will show you who they are. Just let them. The Denver Broncos, for example, have completely quit on this season. When's the last time they won a game? I don't even have it in front of me. It's what, 8 in a row that they've lost? They go to Miami and get absolutely waxed as road favorites last week. I don't care if Aqib Talib is coming back. That's not a good defense. Vance Joseph is likely a one-and-done as a head coach. John Elway is finding himself on the hot seat just a couple years after winning the Super Bowl. You've got a mess of a quarterback situation, and quite frankly, it's a team that doesn't show up at all. The Broncos will show you who they are. Just let them. On the flip side, they're playing the New York Jets this week. It's a pick'em game. How much do you really need to dig into this, even though the game's at Denver? The Jets, for all their faults, play hard week in and week out. They show you who they are. A couple weeks ago against Carolina, they took them right down to the wire. Yeah, they made some stupid mistakes late that cost them, but they played a hard-fought game. At the very least, Todd Bowles' team shows up, plays hard, and tries to win. So on one side of the equation, I have an NFL game this week with a team that cares and wants to win. And on the other side of the equation, there's a team that couldn't care less and just wants to go to Mexico for vacation in the offseason. Yeah, as a pick'em, I don't care where the game is. I'm taking the team that wants to win. Give me the Jets as a pick'em.
Going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
To Las Vegas we go, a professional sports bettor who you can follow on Twitter at @Teddy_Covers. Teddy Covers joining us here on the Sharp 600. Teddy, week 14 has arrived, but before we dive into the card, I wanted to ask you about an element to your handicapping this late in the season. There are teams that present the appearance of having given up on the year, Denver being one of those teams, at least in my opinion. Do you read deeply into that? Are you looking for spots in which teams may have quit on the year?
Yes, but generally I like to look for those spots before December.
Great
you know
point.
I mean? By now, the market, I mean, the markets have caught up with the Broncos, you know what I mean? After 8 straight-up losses and point spread losses by an average of more than 2 touchdowns a game, this is a line that would have been Denver minus double digits going into September, and now the Jets are chalk here. So it's not like the markets aren't seeing something that you are. The Broncos have already been thoroughly devalued.
What do you make of a team like the New York Giants, home underdog to the Dallas Cowboys? Not so much the game specifically, but the scenario in which a team is playing their first game without its head coach who was just fired this past week.
It tends to be a bet-on situation across sports. And you can look for this in baseball. You can look for this in hockey. You can look for this in the NBA. And the NFL, no different. When the coach gets the boot, the players get the message. And it's not like the Cowboys are all that to be a team that you have to, that the Giants are going to need their A game to compete with. You know, Dallas, I understand they won by 24 points against the Redskins last week. And that was mostly Washington turnovers. And Dak Prescott had another miserable ball game. So, you know, the Giants were blown out by Dallas earlier in the season. You know, was that week one? Pretty ugly game for the G-men. I won't be surprised they give them a battle this time around.
The Rams are going to be laying anywhere from 2 to 2.5 in the marquee game of the week against the Philadelphia Eagles, a very physical affair in Seattle on Sunday night. Eagles come up short. That was one of their biggest tests of the season. They stay on the West Coast, and now they have another big-time matchup with the Rams. Do you see Philadelphia bouncing back in this spot?
Well, let's not underestimate what's going on in L.A. right now. This is a natural disaster, catastrophe. Everything's affected with the fires in L.A. The Rams' practices have been affected yesterday and today. So when we try to handicap the game using your straight X's and O's, there are alternative factors that you have to consider here, most notably the Rams being faced with a significant off-field distraction. I haven't seen yet how many guys' houses burned down, but it's certainly not a good situation in terms of off-field distractions for the L.A. Rams. But, you know, all year long I've been hearing quotes from sources that I respect in Philadelphia saying, Doug Peterson's a clown. Doug Peterson's a clown. Watch out for Doug Peterson in a big game. And last week against the Seahawks, I mean, that was an inept game plan. Here's Seattle missing maybe, what, two Hall of Famers in their secondary? And the Eagles' game plan is, oh, we don't want to test them deep. Let's dink and dunk. Seattle lost last week because their coaches didn't put together a game plan that was good. I worry about that this week as well. The Rams, in my mind, probably the better of these two teams.
Speaking of teams in Los Angeles, Teddy, the Chargers have won 6 of their last 8. How dangerous are they in the AFC playoff picture?
Well, they're dangerous in the AFC West because they're the best team in the AFC West. But they're not going to beat the Patriots. Do you see a scenario that the Chargers go up to New England and beat the Patriots? I don't see that scenario. I understand. Look, this LA team, they have a really good pass rush. All right, Ingram and Bosa, devastating. Their secondary's been good. The Pro Football Focus numbers have 3 of the top 15 cornerbacks in the NFL playing for the LA Chargers. And Rivers, certainly capable of chucking the football around. But I worry about that offensive line. I worry about Rivers' propensity for throwing the ball up and letting his receivers make plays on it. That's worked the last couple of weeks with Keenan Allen. He's had some monster numbers, and fantasy players might want to look at Allen again this week against that banged-up Redskins secondary. But are the Chargers serious contenders to make noise in the postseason in the AFC? I don't think so. I think they're a good touchdown, weaker than the elite teams, namely Pittsburgh and New England.
Speaking of the AFC West, the Raiders are catching 4 in Kansas City this weekend. High dysfunction amongst both organizations. Do you have a lean in this game, or is this a stay away because of how messy these two clubs have been?
If I'm playing, I'm laying. I could only look at the Chiefs side here. Oakland isn't right. They haven't been right all season. I shouldn't say that. They haven't been right since that Week 3 loss on Sunday Night Football, where there were issues with Carr and his offensive line as to who was going to stand and sit, and are they going to do it together for the protest for the national anthem. Team hasn't been the same since, flat out. And you look at the numbers on both sides of the football, Oakland mediocre on a good day. The Chiefs, their problems have been getting the offense to work on the days where the defense works and getting the defense to work on the days that the offense works. Pretty ugly defensive numbers the last couple of weeks. The good news about KC this week, the markets have crashed on them. I mean, they really have. Whatever love was out there for Kansas City prior to last week's loss to the Jets, it's gone now. There's no love here in Las Vegas for Kansas City Chiefs. So, you remember the first meeting where the Raiders literally stole that game on a ref call at the very end. I wouldn't be surprised if Chiefs get their revenge this time around.
Minnesota on the road again this week. They're at Carolina to face Cam Newton and the Panthers. This week and beyond, what do you make of this Vikings team? Are they as good as their record indicates?
They're better.
I mean, damn.
If you ask me who's going to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC, I keep going back and forth between Minnesota and New Orleans. And I'll probably pick New Orleans. But out of the two, just because I trust Drew Brees in a playoff game more than I trust Case Keenum. But there's nothing fraudulent about Minnesota. And certainly when you talk about coaches that remind me of Bill Belichick, Mike Zimmer's that guy. The attention to detail for the Vikings on a week-in, week-out basis, the only team I've seen do it better has been New England. So I have a lot of respect for Minnesota. I don't have the spot here, though. Third straight road game, coming off a huge win at Atlanta, coming off a huge win on Thanksgiving. It's not the type of spot that I'm comfortable laying a price with Minnesota this week. Even if they lose this week, I'm still going to like them moving forward, but this isn't their spot.
Sunday Night Football, it's the Ravens at the Steelers. Interesting spot for the Steelers. They're on the short week coming off the Cincinnati game, and they've got New England on deck. Do you like Joe Flacco here, or is the Jimmy Smith injury too much?
Look, when Pittsburgh plays Baltimore, just like when Cincinnati plays Baltimore or Pittsburgh, anytime the line's above three, you just take the dog. You don't think about it. You don't try to overanalyze it and break it down. These are the ultimate competitive games in the AFC North. And year after year, season after season, the top teams, they're going to win these games by a field goal. They're going to lose these games by a field goal. Sometimes you see a four-point margin. But if you're taking more than 4.5 with either of these two squads over the course of the last decade in these divisional rivalry games, you've done pretty well. I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore hangs tough against a Steeler team that has put up great stats, but isn't exactly blowing teams off the field on a weekly basis. Lean Baltimore plus the points.
Final question for you. Before we let you go, anything I've left out that I should be paying particular attention to this weekend?
Well, when we talk about December, you always want to be aware of weather conditions. Although, you know, given the and that's something that as the season progresses, you got to check the weather every week and you got to check it early. But as we know, cold, not a factor when it comes to particularly totals. We worry about wind conditions. And, of course, in L.A. this week, there's been a pretty significant Santa Ana wind event. Not projected to last through Sunday, but certainly something to be aware of.
Follow him on Twitter at Teddy_Covers, professional sports bettor in Las Vegas. He's one of the absolute best in the business. Teddy Covers joining us here on the Sharp 600. Teddy, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Terrific stuff. Happy holidays, and hopefully we can catch up soon.
Hey, man, thank you. Best of luck. And, of course, best of luck to our entire listening audience.
How about that ride in? I guess that's why they call it Sin City.
All right, let's bring this thing home. Give me some music. All right, we've got three picks this week. Game number one we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, so no need to go too in-depth here. We're going to take the Jets as a pick'em over the Denver Broncos. One team cares, one team doesn't. In my mind, this game is as simple as that. Game number two, six-point teaser, Bengals and Chargers. So we're going to take the Bengals from 6.5 down to -0.5 versus Chicago, and the Chargers from -5.5 down to +0.5 versus Washington. The Bears have lost five straight. John Fox is on his way out the door, and Chicago has topped 17 points in a game just once in their last six outings. Cincinnati, look, Marvin Lewis is on his way out too, but this team has been playing for him for such a long time. I think they're going to try to show up in a few spots here late in the season to try and send their guy out a winner. Bengals have covered each of their last four games. That's why we like Cincinnati on one half of the equation. On the other side, the Chargers are 6-2, both straight up and against the spread over their last eight games. The defense, giving up just 13 points per game over their last seven outings, taking on a Washington squad that's dropped 5 of 7 and is now out of playoff contention. So, we've got the Jets over the Broncos as pick one. Pick number two is a six-point teaser, Cincinnati and the Chargers. Pick number three, over 48.5 total points in Oakland, Kansas City. These two got together earlier in the season on October 19th in Oakland. 61 total points on the board. Kansas City, cornerback Marcus Peters is suspended by the team for this game. And this is a Chief defense that just gave up 38 points against the Jets in New York last weekend. Oakland has one of the worst secondaries in the league. Don't overthink this one. Go over the total as long as there isn't an awful weather situation come Sunday morning. Well, that'll do it for this installment of the Sharp 600. As always, thank you for hanging out with us today. It is greatly appreciated. If you get the opportunity, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. That would mean the world to us. But for now, be well, everybody, and best of luck.